Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From yesterday to my email, I'll get them because of the Arrowhead Pride work that I do. And I mentioned this on the Run It Back playoff show this morning. It went from what would be -3 in favor of the Chiefs to -2 in favor of the Buffalo Bills if there were to be a situation where Henny would have to play. So it's a difference of about, what, 5 or 6 points, not necessarily a math wizard. I just think it's interesting that Reed and the team, like, you would think it would be way more, I would say, run heavy of a strategy that maybe if Henny was playing. But I go back to when Matt Moore had to play in last year's two games when Patrick Mahomes had a dislocated kneecap. And what was interesting about going back to those numbers is the Chiefs threw 71 times in those two, 35 and 36. So there really wasn't a big difference. And that was something that I asked Andy Reid during the Monday presser, was just how much would the game plan play if Chad Henne had to go in there. And they said they didn't really change up much in that game last week. You saw them still go for that fourth and one play that they probably would have called the same exact play if it was Patrick Mahomes. So I think it'll be a little different, but I still think Andy Reid can't get away from being pass heavy, even if Henny did have to play in this all-important AFC title game.
Talk with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride here on 610 Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him mornings here on 610 Sports Radio from 5 to 6 a.m. During the postseason. And we always do a Diamond in the Rough segment on Tuesday morning. It's kind of like a look back at, like, maybe somebody we forgot the day before because we're excited about Mahomes and Hill and things like that. Who's kind of your Diamond in the Rough from that game? Because we've talked Mahomes and Henny now for two straight days.
Yeah, I think the defense collectively is a little bit lost here, because I don't know if you guys were feeling it, but that was the first time since probably early to mid fourth quarter of the Super Bowl when there were 8 minutes left and the Cleveland Browns had the football, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, if they score here, then Chad Henne's going to have to really lead the team down for what would be a field goal or a touchdown. And the defense bared down. They did allow the fourth down conversion for a first down, but then they ended up getting the Browns to fourth and 9, and that was a really tough call because they were around midfield, and they ultimately punted their season away. So I think the defense and just that strong effort is a little bit lost because of what Henny was able to do. And then another one to me is Darrell Williams, and he put together the 78 yards on the ground. He also had 4 catches for 16 yards. Darrell, to me, even in the season, just simply staying the course. I mean, he probably felt good when Damian opted out. They would have an opportunity. The Chiefs go and draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then to make matters worse, they go and get Le'Veon Bell, and he has just sit and patiently waited. You have Clyde Edwards-Helaire going down and Le'Veon Bell maybe not being necessarily the fit or the player that Reed wanted, or maybe he's a little banged up, whatever, but rose to the occasion and looked really good for the Chiefs last Sunday, and we'll see if Clyde's available. But if he's not, I feel really confident in Darrell moving forward with this team.
What is the, other than the Mahomes injury, what are the most important things to watch? I mean, no one's discussing Bashaud Breeland, but as well as he has played, and he is in the concussion protocol as well, and you got Stephon Diggs, staring us in the face coming up on Sunday. There should be, we'll get to it probably as the week goes on, right? I feel like everybody was in, like, Mahomes protocol, but Bashaud Breeland's in the protocol too.
See, that's what I love, the official sideline reporter coming out here on 610 Sports Radio early on. I agree, Bashaud Breeland is so important to this team as a cornerback. But also, too, I mentioned Clyde Sammy Watkins, I identified last week, at least in my opinion, going into the Browns game, where it was a situation where the Browns are one of the weaker teams in the AFC. That's the beauty of having the number one seed. And I thought the Chiefs would be all right getting by without Sammy Watkins last week. This is the Buffalo Bills, and they're playing really good football. They're one of the more complete teams in the NFL. You would want to have Watkins in this game. We know what he can do both himself as far as production in the playoffs dating back to the last 2 years, but also what he does in opening up what Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce can do. And then Willie Gay. I would like to see Willie Gay back in the sense that maybe there are some looks where Josh Allen likes to get it done with his legs, and maybe Gay could chase him down in that type of situation. So certainly those injuries going into what will be our first injury report that happens tomorrow afternoon.
Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride with us here on 610 Sports Radio. Before we let you skate and get some sleep, Pete, Eric Bieniemy and the Texans, are they a match, you think?
I do, and unfortunately it's come to this because the Texans aren't really the best situation as we've seen from afar. Their quarterback is a little bit upset with how the franchise is going. A lot of people think that it might be the last snap that he's taken for the Texans, but I think when you're trying to get a head coaching position, you have to really hit on your window. And unfortunately, for some reason, it does feel like the Bieniemy window is closing. And I think he really needs to take any job that wants him. Not that Houston is necessarily the ideal situation, because it does seem a little bit crazy there right now. But you have a top five quarterback, top 10 quarterback in Deshaun Watson. Watson wants to be coached by Bieniemy. Hopefully, if Bieniemy is to take that job, Watson decides to stay and they're able to figure it out. It's not in the Chiefs division, which is a good thing for fans to root for him on occasion. And I think he has to take whatever job is available right now. And that seems like the most likely fit at this point.
Do you get guarantees that Deshaun Watson is staying
before
you take the job?
I'm not taking that job if they're going to trade Deshaun, you know?
That has to be talked about. I mean, that would be something where, you don't want to wait necessarily because, again, you are worried about how many interviews he would even get next year just because now it's been 3 years, 13 teams. But at the same time, you don't want to enter that situation with no quarterback, because then you're just square one and you got to try to set yourself up for success, and that certainly wouldn't be.
Thanks, Pete. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. He's our 610 Sports Radio Chiefs insider. You can, of course, hear him on the Run It Back show that is on 5 a.m., 5 to 6, with Dusty Likens as well, before we sign on each and every morning during the playoffs. And, of course, Pete, frequent contributor throughout our 610 Sports Radio programming. If perception matters, did Sunday sway the tide? Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
All right, I want to follow up on something Pete said. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, our 610 Sports Radio Chiefs insider, at the end of the interview we just did with him about Eric Bieniemy probably just needs to take. I disagree.
I disagree too.
I mean, I understand.
I'm not taking the Jets job.
You don't feel like you may. Well, the Jets job's done.
I know.
You feel like you might miss your window if you don't take one of these, and whatever, you can go through a couple cycles and then you're stale and you're not the hot name and you're not. I still think that maybe the Chiefs OC job can still give you a chance to get something better in the future than what's going on in Houston.
I mean, I'm not taking that Houston job if Deshaun Watson isn't guaranteed.
Well, and then regardless, you still have to do the damage control of all of it. Like, it's not going to be,
it's not going to be
Easter Bee and all those guys. You're the one that's going to have to fix it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go in there and assure Deshaun Watson this is going in the right direction. It's not just going to be about the football and doing whatever. You have to do all that damage control. That's all going to be on you. Like,
do you really want that?
Why do I have to add that work to now being a first-time head coach and all the other stuff that goes into that? I also have to play damage control because you guys screwed up how your quarterback feels about you. That sounds like a terrible situation. I just sit back and one, the people are going to have your back that you don't have a job this year, because that's coming again, right? And then two, you are going to be the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs. You will get interest still from somewhere somehow, and chances are at this point it might be a better opportunity. I don't think he has to take a job. I understand if he does. But
when Pete did say, though, in 3 years he's interviewed with 13 teams, now the Jets twice, that's almost half the NFL.
All it takes is one.
Right, it does.
But I feel where Pete's going with this, though.
But
because
Josh, hold on a second. Josh McDaniels has been around the block four times, has taken a job and has quit, and his name is still hot.
He may get the Philadelphia job.
He may get the Philadelphia job. So your door is not closed.
It does. It rises and falls pretty easily for Josh McDaniels, apparently. But I feel where Pete's going with this, though, because if you don't take a job now, you do put yourself at the risk of falling out of favor or just even falling out of mind of some of the people, right?
Like, so he hasn't been offered a job yet. The first one that he gets offered, he doesn't take, then he falls out of favor. Those people can go.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you've now interviewed with half the league. I mean, where are you at with this? Do you think these teams are going to continue to call you back into their offices to say, well, what's changed over the past 3 years? I mean, the body of work for Eric Bieniemy speaks for himself. So I kind of feel where Pete's going with, because if you get into the head coaching circuit now, if you attach that HC label to the back end of your name, I think regardless of what happens in Houston over the next 3-4 years, whatever the tenure of Eric Bieniemy may be there down in Houston, like, I think regardless of what happens, you still come out in a better position to land another head coaching job than if you were just to kind of hang around and continue to do it. Because let's face it, if the knocks on him are about how much are you really doing in Kansas City and how much is it impressive because you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, like, if those are the two knocks, that's not changing anytime soon. Andy Reid's going to run this team the way he runs this team, and Patrick Mahomes is going to be the quarterback of this team for the foreseeable future, and Eric Bieniemy's status won't ever change insofar as those two components. So if you get out of Kansas City, start building your own resume, start showing what you can do as a head coach, I think it does put you a little bit in higher favor with other teams, because they say, here's a guy who's done this before. Take out what, you know, the record may have been. I know right now I'm kind of forecasting Houston still sucking in 4 years. But,
sure.
Like, you know, if he happened to get fired three or four years again. No, I think you put yourself in that cycle again. Like, we see the guys kind of come and go and come and go and come and go. I mean, how many times has Romeo Crennel been an interim head coach and then get elevated and then back down and elevated back? Like, you just mentioned Josh McDaniels, another guy who went up, went down, has had conversations again about being up. So I think that he puts himself in a better position if you just take what's available. Is it the perfect landing spot for him? I think Houston's a pretty damn good landing spot for him, but you can't wait around for the perfect scenario.
It's only a good landing spot if Deshaun Watson is there and Deshaun Watson is happy. It's a bad landing spot if Deshaun Watson's not there, because they're a dysfunctional mess.
Did you see Dan Orlovsky's report yesterday?
No.
On ESPN, and was basically alluding to, like, there's things we can't even say on the air that are going on in Houston, and why Deshaun Watson's not happy. And I'm like, well, I don't know what that is.
Right. What could that be?
But why is it unspeakable at this point? Like, it is so, you know, it is so bad.
Well, because you've heard it through a rumor, and you can't.
If it is so bad and it is so broken,
Why would you want to go there if you're Eric Bieniemy? See, for me, if I'm going to talk to Houston and I'm Eric Bieniemy, I need to know more about you than you need to know about me, okay? Because I need to know where you are. And at the end of the day, the success of an organization is tied to ownership, and ownership doing the right thing. And I don't know that I can count on this ownership to do the right thing. But Andy Reid yesterday, guys, he said a lot about Eric Bieniemy. Yesterday, I thought, was his strongest endorsement to date of Eric Bieniemy.
Everybody knows what I think of Eric and what kind of head coach I think he'd be. And maybe the best thing I can tell you is I hope he goes to the NFC when he has that opportunity. But whoever gets him, I think is a very lucky organization. Somebody one of the few people I've come across that has the leadership skills that he has, the ability to lead men in this crazy game that we're in. And for those guys, through his leadership, to play at a Pro Bowl level. And so when he gets his hands on you, figuratively, he does wonders with athletes. And he's able to maximize their abilities on the field, and he gives them that extra boost to be a productive person off the field. And somebody that I would love my son to have played for.
So, I mean, that's the endorsement right there.
I would love my son.
When you put that on somebody and give them that kind of endorsement, that really tells you how Andy Reid feels about Eric Bieniemy as a coach. It's like when you're going through recruiting, you know, would you want your son to play for this guy? Would you want your daughter to play for that person? And if you can answer yes to that question, that's a good spot for your kid. And that's what he's saying about Eric Bieniemy. Like, that was the strongest endorsement yet that I've heard Andy Reid give Eric Bieniemy. And to me, and maybe you guys didn't sense this as much as I did, I felt like Andy Reid is at the point now where he is really just kind of frustrated with having to do this every week and tell everybody how great Eric Bieniemy is. Not frustrated because he has to do it, frustrated that 13 teams have interviewed this guy and nobody's given him an opportunity to be a head football coach in the NFL yet. And the Jets have interviewed the man twice. And so I could see like Andy Reid getting frustrated with the entire process, frustrated for Eric Bieniemy, and is like, all right, enough's enough. I would want my kids to play for this guy. What more of an endorsement do I, Andy Reid, the best active head coach in the NFL right now, what more do I need to say about this guy that's going to get through one of these thick skulls of ownership to say, this is the man that you need running your organization? Like, I don't know what more Andy Reid needs to do. Somebody should take a shot at Eric Bieniemy. But again, if it's Houston, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I don't know that I want that shot down there.
I
because I don't know that you're going to be in the position to have the chance to succeed.
The musical chairs are going and the music's about to stop playing. I just don't know that that means I'm worried about getting a chair.
Yeah.
I still got a good gig. I hate that he's in that spot. You say, well, the offensive coordinator job in Kansas City is pretty good, but it is.
It is. Oh, it's really good. It's like what you say the chairs stop moving, right? It's like when you go to a bar and the legs messed up on a chair and it's wobbling like that. You don't want that chair, or you sit on a stool with no seat back. Get that thing out of there. That's the Houston Texans job right now. It's a bad bar stool with no back. I don't care that it's a chair. I'll stand.
It's starting to look like the only spot to sit.
So I'll stand.
I'll carry out.
Yeah, I'll get it to go or find somewhere else later.
I'd rather sit.
Buffalo head coach Sean McDermott is fooling himself. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they got a good player in Patrick and I think we made out as well with Josh and Tremaine and Davius. However you kind of shape that in terms of picks that became picks and all that type of stuff. So I think both teams fared awfully well.
Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. Because if you're the Bills, you have to spin that Patrick Mahomes trade was just fine with you.
Did he say made out with Josh?
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah, did he say that? He said he made out with Josh.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. You that close to Sean McDermott?
I think both teams fared awfully well.
I hear nothing about making out with Josh.
The picks that became picks and all that type of stuff. So I think both teams
still nothing. Fared awfully well. Not hearing anything about making out with Josh.
That would be a great drop if he did, but no, he did not.
Did not hear anything about making out with Josh.
I'll get there.
We'll find it. I thought when I was listening to Sean McDermott yesterday, they asked him about that trade, and obviously that shaped both of these franchises, no question. And he said they got a good player in Patrick. Like, could you be any more like wrong about that? Like, you know, they didn't get a good player. They got a generational talent that has changed the face of an organization, and not only changed the organization, but has changed the face of the NFL. I mean, it's safe to say that Patrick Mahomes is the face of the National Football League.
And he made out as well with Josh.
If he said, I made out with Josh.
He made out as well. So that's funny.
Yeah.
He made out as well with Josh.
Could you cut the as well? Yeah, please.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, please get back to us when you doctor that up the appropriate way. But, you know, I was thinking about that trade, too. And obviously it's going to be talked about, Josh, right, when the two teams meet up because of what it did for the Chiefs and also what it did for Buffalo. And it's one of those deals where immediately you have to say who won the trade, right? Like, that's the road we always go down when a move is made in baseball or football, whatever. Who won the deal? And sometimes you don't know who won the deal for a while. And I think if you're the Buffalo Bills, you can sit there.
With Josh.
There you go. Now, see, that works.
You made out with Josh.
Yeah, they did. They made out with
Josh.
They made out with Josh. And
I'm gonna take that second with that.
When that trade was made and when that trade happened, obviously the Chiefs were looking for that franchise quarterback. Buffalo had just hired Sean McDermott, so they were still committed to Tyrod Taylor at that time. they didn't even have the right GM in place.
I thought we had the Ryan chuckle there. They were committed to Tyrod Taylor.
Well, contractually,
even though they're making out with Josh.
Yeah, contractually. They
were. A real high school drama going on.
Right?
Here.
So they made out with Josh.
Oh, there better. It is. That's even better.
Third time's a charm.
Right. So they were contractually committed to him. And after that draft, they fired their GM and then hired the new GM to go along with Sean McDermott. So the old GM was doing, you know, the drafting. And I think when Sean McDermott came in, you know, he's a defensive guy, if you will. Not that that truly matters. But if they weren't ready in their kind of growth as an organization to go out there and identify that quarterback that they wanted, then they made the right move because they did stockpile a lot of picks. I mean, Tre'Davious White was really, really good. They packaged a couple of picks and took an offensive tackle, Deion Dawkins, receiver Zay Jones. The first round pick in 2018, they used the trade up to take linebacker Tremaine Edmonds and a couple of other picks that they made along the way. And so when you're the Buffalo Bills and you look back at that trade, you say, yeah, we built the foundation of a team that's playing in an AFC championship game just a couple of years later. If you're Kansas City, obviously you got Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think.
I thought you were going to say on rock and roll. I'm not going to lie. They built the foundation.
Oh, on rock and roll. I always say built this city on Alex Gold. It works very well.
I say
well.
Sausage rolls.
Now. Sausage rolls. Oh, I always say Alex Gold.
Sausage roll.
I think one of the things though is there doesn't have to be a clear cut. Oh my God, these guys won the trade or anything like that. Because both organizations are in a great spot right now, and that trade led both organizations to being in a great spot. And
yeah, the Chiefs won. No,
right off the top. Save your breath here.
I don't know that it is like that because there's no guarantees they were taking Patrick Mahomes at number 10. I don't think if Buffalo was truly in the market for a quarterback that year, they would never have traded that pick. So we can't like revisit history and say, you thought the man was a third round draft pick. So you can't sit here and say, well,
project.
Buffalo.
Third round project.
Right.
Yeah.
You also
a flyer on him in the third round.
You also thought Zobrist was a luxury.
But that
right?
was, see, why you got to bring up old stuff, Bob?
No, but granted, that was before he heated up before the draft. I mean, at first, Patrick Mahomes, it's not like it was a given Patrick Mahomes as a top 10 pick.
No, it was
wasn't
not.
It wasn't even close.
Not even close.
That was meteoric.
Yeah,
it the was. Rise of it was. So, yeah, I mean, I was in the camp, you know, having seen him, like, yeah, that would be a good project quarterback to get later. But
right.
He rocketed up in 3 months.
And he did because of the combine. And now that the combine's not here, that's
now, if you want to say I said the Chiefs should have drafted Geno Smith, that's fine. I'm wearing
you
that
you did
one.
Do that one, yes. You were ready for that one.
The Bills actually did take a quarterback the year Patrick Mahomes was drafted. Don't you remember Nathan Peterman?
Yeah, Peterman.
Oh, Peterman? Did they take him? Mm-hmm. When was he drafted? Mm-hmm. Was he the third-round project?
He was a fifth-round pick from the Buffalo Bills.
Fifth-round pick. So, you know, that's a flop.
Now,
right
if
there.
They didn't, if they but, didn't make those draft picks work.
Well, then it's a failure. Yes.
Oh, they got that draft pick for Peterman, by the way, from Dallas. So you could say they won two trades that year.
Who did they trade to Dallas that year?
I don't know, nor do I care.
If they wouldn't have parlayed what they had into guys that are, again, productive now and are helping to build their team, you'd look at it as a complete failure. The only reason it really worked is because they, one, got their quarterback.
Yeah, they did later, find their guy.
Okay. And they made these picks work.
Right.
And I mean,
they had a ton
of mid-round picks, too, that year. Like Matt Milano was a fifth-round pick.
But
that
great pick in the fifth round.
Yeah, I mean, I love his cookie as well. Right. So, like, I mean, it's delicious. I don't know how they get that fudgy deliciousness in there so well. But, yeah, Matt Milano was a great pick for them as well in the fifth round. I mean, they continued to build through that. So I think, like, while, like, obviously, we're using some revisionist history on this. We're going back and looking at it. But, like, the only reason the Bills say that you know, that Sean McDermott feels that worked out well for them is because they were able to have so many mid-round selections that really buoyed their team. And the fact that you turn around the following year and draft Josh Allen and start that trajectory, like, there's nothing left for you to say. Like, you can't say, yeah, we're still kicking ourselves about not having Patrick Mahomes when you have Josh Allen, who's now led you to the AFC title game and is in serious. I mean, obviously he's not going to win the MVP, but leading through the season was in serious talks about MVP. So.
Well, yeah, and if they don't get Josh Allen and they don't find their quarterback, I'm sure the conversation in Buffalo is, but again, there's no guarantees that they would have drafted Patrick Mahomes at that spot, and there's no guarantees that Patrick Mahomes would have this unbelievable Hall of Fame success without Andy Reid. Like, again, we talked about it earlier. The combination was just perfect. And I think if I'm Buffalo and I wanted to take a quarterback there, and that's who I had my mind set on, I never would have traded that pick, and I would have gone out and drafted that quarterback at that time. But they realized they had so much more to do as an organization to get to that level where that quarterback, like here in Kansas City, the Chiefs didn't build with that quarterback right away. They got Alex Smith, and everyone's like, well, just go out and draft a guy. Well, that guy that they wanted, the guy that they coveted, just wasn't there. Remember, they had the number one overall pick in the draft, and they took an offensive tackle at number one overall, who's become a very good. So the Bills kind of did it very similar to the way that the Chiefs built it. They built their team and then finally got that quarterback at the end that puts you over the top. And so Buffalo had so many more, like when they took over Buffalo, my God, this is the first time in it's almost like a Cleveland type of story where Buffalo's in the playoffs, you know, for the first time in decades and having success in the postseason. They had to build that entire roster. And so they came in, they go, well, the quarterback's not going to make a difference if we can't stop anybody on defense. So let's build this entire roster. Let's stockpile picks. Let's hit on our picks. And they've done a great job of hitting on their picks as well. So I mean, I give Buffalo a lot of credit.
I certainly agree with the sentiment that over the stretch of a couple of years with the additional draft capital, like they were able to build a really good roster top to bottom. And that's really important in the NFL. Like we're seeing that across all these, all teams, right? Like
we talk about it with the Chiefs every week, you know,
depth being tested consistently and the ability to be able to draft late, not just identify talent early, right?
Like, I mean, the Chiefs have a Hall of Fame punter on their practice squad.
Let's slow down here. But I do think, though, that like you can't tell me in any sense of the word, whether it's Sean McDermott or whether it's you spitting this. Like, I agree that there are some positives that have come from this. There is zero way you could ever tell me that you would rather have Zay Jones and
I
the list. Of,
I didn't say
and
that.
And the list of
never
guys.
Never once did well, I say that.
Well, I'm not saying you
never
did.
Never once
but,
did I say that.
But Patrick Mahomes is the most valuable asset in the NFL. I mean, bar none, off the field.
You can say you did just fine with it. You can't say, well, we did better than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, we
he did.
Feel no, like
I don't
we
think,
came
I don't,
out.
I don't,
came
I,
out
I don't
okay.
think anybody said that. I think they said, you know, they got Patrick Mahomes and we did what we had to do. I think they were, at the end of the day, very happy with what they got. I don't think they said we're better off because we don't have Patrick Mahomes.
I get the general sense, though, that, you know, taking, you know, maybe Josh Allen out of the equation, if the Bills didn't have a quarterback and you offered them Patrick Mahomes for everything that you'd given up and everything that had gotten in return, they would do that in a heartbeat. So, I mean, and I'm not making that trade on the other side. You'd have to give me a Scrooge McDuck money bin in order to.
It wouldn't
that.
Be enough.
And no,
how much fits in that money bin though? You'd assume quite a bit. It was like gold bullion.
The Chiefs wouldn't even trade Patrick Mahomes for somebody's first round pick for the next 10 years. I mean, he's probably the only untradeable asset in all of professional sports right now. Harden, maybe. He's playing well for the Nets. They don't want to get rid of him.
He's down like 15 pounds, too.
15 pounds, had triple-double. Like,
I'm not going to lie. I'm upset. I'm very upset because I was really rooting for a fat guy to be averaging like 20 points a game.
Yeah, at least.
Harden's a
– He was my least favorite player before, and he continues to be. Now he's worse.
Come on. What he did to that team in Houston, that's just not a teammate. That's not somebody you want on your team.
Dribble.
Eat.
Dribble.
Have a sandwich at halftime. Dribble, pack on the pounds. Dribble, get dribble. Traded and then go for a triple-double. Like, what?
Was that like a hamburger?
Yes, it is.
So I don't want to say the Bills are lucky, but if the Bills didn't do well with what was given to them, then they would be the absolute losers of this trade. They can only have solace in the fact that they did what they needed to do for their franchise at that particular moment, and then still got their quarterback.
What would we be saying, though, if Patrick Mahomes didn't work out, right? You traded all the way up to 10, gave up all these picks, and now you got a whole, you know, like, it just...
Could have had Trubisky.
Yeah, right? Should have had Deshaun Watson. I mean, like, revisionist history is the best.
It is.
But you look at it, and that's where Buffalo started to build the foundation for a team that's playing in the AFC Championship game just a couple of years later. Like, they did it the right way. A lot of times in this league, you know, most times in this league, there are no quick fixes. And if you're willing to go through the process and do it the right way, you're going to have an opportunity to have success. The problem is you're not given a lot of opportunity to do it the right way.
What I would be saying, though,
Josh,
would be to draft another quarterback. That's what I would be telling you.
Yeah.
Because there's no teams that fail in getting the quarterback right can do it again. Just go do it again.
I think Arizona showed everybody that. It's okay to get rid of Josh Rosen, which is he even on a team anymore?
I thought he was
about like teammates nobody
Tampa?
Wants around. God. Is he?
No. I thought he was a practice squad guy for Tampa.
Oh, I don't know. because the former Mizzou quarterback's Tommy's backup, right? Yeah.
Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, 49ers, not Tampa. 49ers is a practice squad guy.
We'll look at this week's Diamonds in the Rough next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.